Good morning. What a great joy it is to welcome each and every one of you as we continue our Lenten journey and continue going closer and closer and closer to the events of Holy Week and Good Friday and then the joyous celebration of Easter morning. As we come together and worship, may the presence of Christ rest upon us in some unique and different ways. And might we indeed always experience Christ's presence as we leave this place and seek to be faithful servants in the world. As we worship together today, may the peace of Christ be with you. Let us rise and pass the peace of Christ.
We will celebrate the end of Lent with a jubilant chorus of "He has risen indeed." But that victory is not yet in sight as Jesus walks toward the deathly darkness of Good Friday, alone, so very alone. We, the disciples, do not fully understand what is going on or what is going to happen in the coming weeks. So Jesus has started to teach us, show us, and help us to understand what was going to happen in the coming crisis. Jesus fully understood the events that were unfolding, so he started to say goodbye. And he said goodbye by taking a towel and a basin and washing all of our feet, even Judas and my feet.
"I am Thomas. I remember he said, 'I give you an example that you also should do, as I did to you.' He said goodbye to us by saying, 'Little children, I'm with you a little while longer. A new commandment I give, that you should love one another, even as I have loved you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. I go to prepare a place for you.' Finally, he said, 'Peace I give to you. Not that the world gives, that I give to you.' In these darkening days of Lent, let us hear these words of Christ. Let us see God's love and care shine brightly against the black Good Friday horizon that looms up in the background."
Please stand and join with me in the call to worship.
Huh? It's all over now. Forget.
In Jesus Christ, there is new creation. This newness is from God, who has reconciled us through Jesus Christ. Please join me in the opening prayer. God of steadfast love and mercy, remind us once again that in Jesus Christ everything has become new. For far too often, things seem as they have always been. Old habits die hard, difficult situations linger, failures from our past linger. We look for your promised newness but cannot see it. Speak to us of your new creation. Open your eyes to its presence in our lives. Call us forth to claim this newness that we may be healed and made whole. Amen. Please continue standing for the hymn of praise on page 384.
Thank you. seat. Well, good morning. How are you four doing? Good to see you today. Anything exciting this weekend? Not much, just a regular old weekend. Tuesday, how old? Six. Wow, that'll all fit on one hand, won't it? Oh, only if you have six fingers on one. Do you? I don't either. No. And, yes? Oh, you put your sleeve on? Okay. Well, let me tell you about a fun story. Jesus told this story about a dad, probably a mom, and there were two boys. And the one boy, when he got old enough, he said, now, this is the David Lake version, okay? He said, now, Dad, when I die, I'm going to get some money from you, and I'd like that now. And his dad probably went, okay. So his dad goes to the bank, checks everything out, and the oldest son, are you the oldest? Yep, you're the oldest. Yep, yep. Do you have a brother or sister? Yep. The oldest gets double the amount, and the younger then gets less. So the man got out what he needed for this son, gave him his money, and do you know what the son did? Left, moved away with this big pile of money. And then he spent it. He partied, gave money away. And where the money should have lasted him a long time, all of a sudden he reaches in his pockets and it's all gone. So now he had to go to work. So he did. He worked on a farm. Remember, he was a Jewish man. And he worked on a farm that had a bunch of
pigs.
You're right. He had a bunch of pigs. And he goes, ew. Do you ever smell pigs? They're not very pleasant. Yeah, when we were young, well, when Leanne and I got married, my nephew, who was about a little younger than you, he would never give out hugs. Henry would not give out hugs. And my older brother used to raise pigs in the wintertime because they didn't smell as bad. Everything froze. So one day in the spring, they still have the pigs. Henry decided to come running up out of the barn with his barn boots on and jump into Aunt Leanna's arms and give her a hug with pig doo-doo all over his boots. She didn't smell good the rest of the day. No, pigs are stinky. Good if they're pork chops or bacon. So the man decides, well, I better quit working with these pigs and I better go back to my dad. Maybe my dad will hire me and I can be welcomed home. So what do you think the man did?
Go home.
The man went home. Do you think his daddy let him come back?
Yes.
Or did his daddy say, hit the door, buddy, you're gone?
No, he said welcome back.
He said welcome home. He did, and he loved him again, didn't he? Jesus does that to us every single day. Every single morning, Jesus says, come on home, I love you. Come on back, I forgive you. Come on in. Let's celebrate. And they did. So remember, Jesus loves you, and you are always welcome with Jesus. Let's bow for prayer. Lord God, we are thankful for these boys and girls. Always welcome them, and may they always feel welcomed in your presence. Continue, O God, to bless them with great things in the life of your church. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Let's hold off for a second. I want to talk to the adults. On your collection today, if you look and see, it's going to One Great Hour of Sharing. And there's an important announcement that's in there. Anytime there's a disaster around the world, there's an appeal that comes out from UMCOR, United Methodist Committee on Relief. And we get to proudly say that there are no administrative costs that are taken out of that money, that 100% of that gets to that place that needs relief. Today, one great hour of sharing covers the administrative costs. All right? That's where that comes from. And so to continue the ministry of UMCOR, of reaching out to millions around the world, dollar per dollar giving that you give to them, today's offering will help defray those administrative costs. And so I would encourage you to be generous as you have in the past and give to this wonderful ministry.
Our scripture reading comes to us today from Joshua 5, verses 9 through 12. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away from you the disgrace of Egypt." And so that place is called Gilgal to this day. While the Israelites were camped in Gilgal, they kept the Passover in the evening on the 14th day of the month in the plains of Jericho. On the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate the produce of the land, unleavened cakes in parched grain. The manna ceased on the day they ate the produce of the land, and the Israelites no longer had manna. They ate the crops of the land of Canaan that year. Now I'll ask the ushers to come forward with the presentation of God's tithes and our offerings. Forgiving Father, we are grateful that you receive us as beloved children. Like the Father in Jesus' parable of the lost son, you rejoice when we repent and return to you. Thank you for not holding our sins against us. Help us to welcome each person as someone you love. Use our offerings to support ministries that encourage people as they live into new life in Christ. We pray this in his precious name. Amen.
Please be seated. We come to the time in our service to lift up joys and concerns for individuals and situations in our midst. If you look on the back of our worship folder this morning, you'll see our list of prayer concerns. I almost hesitate to say it. I think it's been about three consecutive weeks that we haven't had anyone in the hospital, and that's I don't know if that's happened since I've been here, but that's a joy to celebrate, but we know that can change at any moment. Also, please make the following additions. We want to continue to remember the bishop and cabinet. I believe they will be meeting this coming week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I'm not sure if Irwin Church is on the docket. We will just get a phone call out of the blue that indeed they met and things have been taken care of. So remember them in your prayers. Also, have a joy. Terry, you're back singing with us. Welcome. Good to have you here. 100% pain-free? Pain-free?
Pretty much so, yes. It's hard to believe that 2 short months ago, I was in so much pain I could not even walk, that Deb had to take me anywhere in a wheelchair. And now after surgery, 4 weeks ago, on my herniated disc, I'm back to church. So praise God.
Wonderful. Good to have you. Also, please remember Jennifer and children, and also prayers for James' recent quadruple bypass. So remember he and his family during this time of recuperation. John, early service, his mom had a stent put in and had had a heart attack. She's home and doing well, so we want to continue to remember her as well. Of course, all of those situations around the world that need to have our intercessory prayer, let us remember those as well. We continue now with our prayer hymn this morning, number 297, Beneath the Cross of Jesus.
Our gracious and loving God, how good it is to be with you in this moment. How good it is to be with brothers and sisters, family and friends. How good it is, O God, to be journeying with one another in this Lenten season, as we are drawn closer and closer to the cross, but knowing that the end of the story gets really good. As we journey through these days, O God, mindful of our humanness and our bent towards sinning, we know that there is a love that will not let us go. We know that there is a grace that is sufficient for all that we go through. And we know that there is a forgiveness that abounds in our lives to make us whole. Oh, what good news it is, O God, to be here in your presence today. We know that you call us, you encourage us, you empower us to be your church that is alive and well and in action in the world. You call us as individuals to be faithful to the teachings of Christ. Some days, O God, it goes well. And we are excited and blessed as to the timing and how everything fits. And then other days, O God, it just seems that with every step that we take, with every turn that we take, that we're just being tempted and sin is just coming at us hard and full. We pray for your forgiveness. We pray for your reshaping and molding of us. We pray for your reconciliation. We pray, O God, that we will become that that you have created us to be. O God, we are grateful for the mission and ministry that is represented here, within your church, within the walls, by your people. But we are grateful, O God, for the mission and ministry that takes place out there in the world, in the mission field, in our neighborhoods, our gyms, our places of work and play, O God. That's where we meet those that need to experience your grace and forgiveness. O God, we pray for them. We pray for those individuals to whom we will be sent this week that our lives will intersect with. We pray for the names of individuals on our prayer list, for the cabinet, for the bishop. We pray for those who have experienced illness and pain and suffering. We pray for those who are rejoicing and celebrating. We pray, O God, for people around the world and the multitude of hurts and needs. Oh God, somehow we pray that you might use us to be instruments of your peace, your love, your grace, your forgiveness. Oh God, we ask and pray in the holy and precious name of Christ our Lord, as we share together in the prayer he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture lesson this morning is from 2 Corinthians, Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth. He is trying to shore them up, to give them words of encouragement from the outside forces that are pushing in this small, young Christian church. Paul writes these words. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, God made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Christ we might become the righteousness of God. May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us today, for they are the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, for this day we give you thanks. For your servant Paul and the words of good news that he brings to us today. For his drive and stamina, his desire to preach to the world. Oh God, we are grateful for his calling. And pray that your spirit now will rest upon us, giving us a sense of rest and peace and comfort from the activities of daily life and living. Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. It's always interesting to walk around at flea markets or places that you can donate and things come in and see how a person can use another person's junk. Even garbage to make a new creation. Somewhere, I don't know how we got it. My dad now has it hanging down in a building that we call the hole, because that seems to be where everything goes. Take it to the hole. It's a mobile of airplanes made out of pop cans. Well, some of you are very good at repurposing things, as they now say. Old greeting cards are turned into kitchen magnets or framed and used around homes, all kinds of things. And according to today's scripture from Corinthians, you are a new creation. So am I. Listen to Paul. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Oh, we know that in this newness, We've experienced that because Christ has died for each of us. And then when you and I were baptized, we died to our old self as well. And what then emerges out of the waters of baptism is the new creation that Paul speaks of in this scripture reading. After baptism, we are newly born. You are in Christ, and you are a new creation. It's as if we've been made over by God in that very moment. Now, in our culture, we are infatuated with makeovers. Oh, I don't know what. There's so many TV shows about that. Extreme makeovers. What's that one? I have to admit I used to watch it too, where they would come in and go through your wardrobe and throw everything out if you were willing to come to some city. What was that called? What Not to Wear. What Not to Wear. How in the world could I even forget? What Not to Wear. And oh, good Lord, you look at some of the pictures they would show of people, what they were wearing, and you would just go, what were you thinking when you left the house this morning? Goodness gracious. They even have TV shows where, you know, it's the hair is redone, the eyes are redone, the teeth are redone, the suck a little bit out here and put a little bit in there, and all kinds of full body makeovers for the individual, let alone now the homes we live in, where older homes are given facelifts and redone and remodeled and just look phenomenal. You even walk into the bookstores, and perhaps more importantly, as we tell our kids, it might be a joy and a celebration to look good on the outside. But folks, it's more important to look good on the inside. And you go now into the bookstores and the self-help areas, and there's all kinds of books in there to seek to change your insides and make you feel healthy and whole and good about what's going on. Well, the best good news about that is in the scriptures today. When we hear new creation, we might think of that full overhaul. Paul's talking about that new creation that we experience in and through Jesus Christ. Paul reminds us in so many words that when we become a part of God and God's kingdom, we become representatives of Jesus Christ. We become ambassadors for God's kingdom. Ambassadors are people who represent the realm of their citizenship. An ambassador of the United States is an American no matter where he or she lives and goes. And that person represents the wills and wishes of the United States. And people will judge the United States by how that ambassador behaves. So what Paul is saying here is that each of us holds the position of ambassador within the kingdom of God. We are ambassadors to Christ in the world. No matter where we go, whether we go to work or eat out, whether we go to a ball game or the corner grocery store, whether we're socializing with friends or family, we are representing Christ. Now, not everyone that we're going to bump into knows what it means to be a Christian or a member of the kingdom of God. And yet still we represent Christ. So people are going to judge God's kingdom, the church, and Jesus Christ by how you and I
behave. It's a little scary, huh? Probably some churches are going to start showing the movie that came out about, 12 or 15 years ago, The Passion of Christ. I remember one time there was a couple that went to that movie and they came out and they started arguing about the movie and they got into a fight and one stabbed the other. What? How does that represent Christ to the world? Oh, you're arguing so much you went and tried to kill one another. What in the world are we thinking sometimes? But here's another story. The church had a good pastor. The members were faithful and kind and just fairly quiet and subdued. Just life went along. And a few members had had an experience and became lit up, as it's called, on fire for Jesus Christ. And they were bold in their proclamations. And they took an interest in the ministry of the church. And with the support of the pastor, they tried to make some amazing changes. I clicked on a picture that's in my cell phone. The preacher standing looking out over the church saying, "How many of you want change?" And everybody raised their hand. The next caption is, "How many of you are willing to change?" And everybody kept their hand. So the church tried to do some amazing changes through this new group of people. And at the same time, though, there were those members that, they kind of liked things the way they were. And they were in positions of making authority and making decisions. And they liked it the way it was and had been. And they feared change. And out of their fear, they could not accept any of the changes that were trying to be made, and so they attacked those individuals who were on fire for Jesus Christ, and as those attacks continued, they also then attacked the pastor. And in the end, tired of being beaten down and worn out, the pastor and a group of families left that congregation, and the church was decimated. But here's the saddest thing of all. To those on the outside of the church, to those on the margins of the congregation, to those watching and looking, those members within the congregation were representatives of Jesus Christ. And so by the actions and the ill will of the men and the women who oust the pastor and that group of believers, they were witnessing to the kingdom just as much as those who were on fire were witnessing to the kingdom. And for years, pastors and other Christians no doubt will hear words like, "Well, I'll never be a Christian because of what I saw those Christians do to one another." So, brothers and sisters, like it or not, you and I are representatives of Jesus Christ. You and I are ambassadors for the kingdom of God. What we do, what we say, how we act, how we interact with people on a daily basis reflects upon the whole body of Jesus Christ. Now, before we leave shaking in our boots and afraid to do anything, because fear can be a great motivator to do nothing, let's remember that God is serious about each and every one of us here this morning.
God is serious enough about you to make you into a new creation. God is serious enough about you to give you the job of being an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And God is serious enough about you. Here's some good news. God is serious enough about you to forgive you for every single mistake that you've ever made, that I've ever made. God loves you deeply and truly. And God has chosen you. God has chosen me to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ in this church and in this world. And God believes that you and I can do this. And God journeys with us as we go. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, what a sense of peace and comfort to know that we're not alone. What a calling to know that you call us to represent you. And now, oh God, in these moments that we share together, we recognize the fact that you are serious enough about us to give us a new start and a new beginning right now. For through this holy meal, everything in the past is free and clear and wiped away and gone. Your grace and forgiveness are sufficient. Thank you, O God, for it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. We come together today to remember. To remember that as Jesus was gathering together with his disciples in that upper room for his last meal, that as they sat around the table together, the mood, odd and different than moods from before, that Jesus took bread. And lifting it to the heavens, he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, and it's broken for you. Eat it and remember me." And so today we come to remember the presence of Christ in the world, the presence of Christ in our lives. His body, the bread of life, been broken for you today. And as the conversation continued and the ritual for the Seder meal continued, Jesus at some point then picked up a cup. He said, "This cup is a new covenant, where it's my blood that is shed for the forgiveness of the sins of the whole world. Our sins today." And he said, "Drink and remember me." The cup of the new covenant, the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the forgiveness of our sins. I want to remind you that this morning, as we commune together, that this table is not ours. The United Methodist Church does not have claim to it. It is Christ's table. And it is welcome to all to receive that grace and forgiveness. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what you're going to do. Doesn't matter whether you're a member here or not. You are welcome to come and to receive grace and forgiveness.
God invites us of all ages to come as well. The table is prepared. We're invited. And as we receive today, be mindful of the person sitting next to you as you pass the trays. Hold the elements together. And then when the ushers come forward under my direction, together as one body, the body of Christ, we will commune together. Let us come to receive. Simple piece of bread, given eternal significance, a love from Jesus Christ that will never let us go. His body has been broken for you. Eat and remember him. Amen. In the Old Testament days, in order to receive grace and forgiveness, an animal lost its life and it was placed upon the altar. Jesus said, "This is my blood, the cup of the new covenant shed for the forgiveness of the sins of the world, the final, complete, and perfect sacrifice offered upon the cross. Drink, receiving grace and forgiveness, and remember him. Amen." Gracious and loving God, your Holy Presence surrounds us in this moment, empowering us, blessing us, calling us, and sending us into the world. May we be your faithful ambassadors. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. Let us stand and sing our closing hymn together.
gracious and loving God, with our lives intertwined with you, all things are fresh and new and filled with possibilities. You anoint us, you bless us, you equip us. As you call us and send us into the world as your ambassadors for Christ. Oh God, may we live and serve you and one another faithfully. For it's in Christ's holy and precious name that we pray. Amen.